soon we'll come to the end of life's journey. And perhaps we'll never meet anymore. Till we gather in heaven's bright city. Far away on that beautiful shore. If we never meet again this side of heaven, as we struggle through this world and its strife, there's another meeting place somewhere in heaven, by the side of the river of life, where the charming roses bloom forever, and where separations come no more. If we never meet again this side of heaven, I will meet you on that beautiful shore. Oh, they say we shall meet by the river, where no storm clouds ever darken the sky. And they say we'll be happy in heaven, in the wonderful sweet by and by. If we never meet again this side of heaven, as we struggle through this world and its strife, there's another meeting place somewhere in heaven, by the side of the river of life, where the charming roses bloom forever, and where separations come no more. If we never meet again this side of heaven, I will meet you on that beautiful shore. I will meet you on that beautiful shore.
Amen. Amen. Appreciate it tonight. God bless you. All right, we're going back to the book of Acts. Last chapter, instead of 26, 28. Acts chapter 28, find that passage in the book. We're going to look at the first five verses here. Go over the story a little bit like we did this morning in chapter 26. And I'll read from this passage. When you find it in just a moment, I'll give you a second. And if you're able to stand, we'll have you do that in honor of God's word tonight. Acts chapter 28, if you found that and you're able to stand, let's do so together. I'll begin reading with verse 1. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one, because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. And I want to speak tonight on how to kill a viper. Amen. How to kill a viper. Father, thank you for the privilege to preach your word. And thank you for that beautiful meeting place in heaven someday. And Lord, if we don't cross paths down here, we're on our way to glory. We'll sit by the river of life. So what a great truth. Thank you for the songs, the singing tonight. Bless now the message to our bodies, O Lord. I pray that you'll, our hearts and our souls, and help us, Lord, to get something from it tonight. Now, thank you in Jesus' name and amen. Thank you. Be seated. I want to echo Brother Allen. These last 4 weeks have certainly been a blessing as together we have sought the Lord. We've requested His presence in our services and in our service for Him. And I have been blessed by the emphasis on prayer. Should we be surprised that God has answered our request? We shouldn't be, really. He has heard and He has answered. Last Sunday afternoon, Brother Barajas and I were talking. It was about 4:15 or so. I was getting ready to go over to the King's Kids. And we were in the conference room there. He was kind of standing in the doorway. I was sitting at the table. And we were just talking. And an adult man came by and stopped. And he asked if he could tell us something that was on his heart. Well, you never know what's going to come out, you know. So, sure. And he went on to say that he was enjoying the spirit of unity in the church, that he could not remember a time when so many people were pulling together in such a way, and that it was a tremendous blessing to him, and he attributed it to the spirit of prayer. And Brother Barajas and I both agreed with him, and then he went on his way. And then a moment later, Brother Barajas left and went upstairs. And when Brother Barajas left, immediately the Spirit of God impressed on my heart a thought. If that is true, and I believe to a degree that's true, Satan will not stand by and take this sitting down. He'll throw a wrench into things if he gets the opportunity. And last Sunday afternoon in the conference room, after that conversation, very brief, this passage of Scripture came to my mind. And I said, okay, Lord, next Sunday night I'm going there unless you change my mind. So here we are tonight. My mind's not been changed. In chapter 27, we have the details of Paul's trip to Rome by way of ship. This was part of what I talked about this morning. This was part of the appeal process before Caesar and so forth. And so he's got to get to Rome. Now, he doesn't get to Rome until later in chapter 28. So in between the first of chapter 27 and getting to Rome in chapter 28, he endures a shipwreck. And at the end of chapter 27, the story finds him and the others on the ship reaching the island of Melita. 276 men swam or floated to the shore on boards or broken pieces of the ship. None of them died, because that's what God had told Paul to tell the people. Nobody's life is going to be lost in this, and God always keeps His promises, right? So they're on Melita. Melita is now, today, it's known as Malta, still there. It's an island in the Mediterranean Sea, which has a bay called St. Paul's Bay. That's the name of it. And the island was under Roman control when Paul and the other 275 men washed ashore after the shipwreck. The island was inhabited by what Luke called, the writer of the book of Acts, barbarous people. Now, this was a term for foreigners, not necessarily cannibals. Okay, they were superstitious for sure, but seemingly they were not headhunters or the like or cannibals, just foreigners and rough people, if you will, okay, remote people. In verses 2 through 5, we read there where those islanders kindled a fire for those men. Now, here are these men, 276 of them. They're soaking wet, and it's raining, and it's cold. And I would imagine that those 276 men were thankful for that fire. I don't know if you've ever been out in a place where you were cold or wet and somebody started a fire. That's a blessing. So they wanted to keep it burning, keep it going. So Paul, he went out and he gathered a bundle of sticks, a whole armful of sticks, and he threw them on the fire. And as he did, a viper came out of the heat and bit him on the hand and hung there. And immediately the islanders thought, okay, he's a murderer. And he's getting his justice. And even though, you know, they figured that fortune had helped him escape the shipwreck, but justice was served when the snake bit him. And he shook the snake off into the fire, and they just stood there and watched, because they expected him at any minute to drop over dead. He didn't drop over dead, nor did his hand even swell. And so after a long time had passed and nothing happened to Paul, the people changed their minds and determined that he was a god of some sort. Isn't that how fickle human beings are? They go from he's a murderer to he's a god in a matter of minutes. Okay, so this is what happened. Now, that's the story. That's the story in summary form. Now, I would like to draw some symbolic lessons for us from this story tonight. Number one, I want to talk about the fire kindled. I want to speak for a couple of minutes on the fire kindled. You see that in verse number two? They kindled a fire. Now, it was cold. It was raining. And the islanders kindled this fire for the soaking wet men to get warm. Very kind thing to do. And the fire soon produced a heat that no doubt brought the men together who had survived the shipwreck. And so here they got warmed by this fire. Now, the staff gets together on Wednesday morning. I think most of you know that. We meet at 7:30 for prayer. The pastoral staff meets at 7:30. Brother Bragg, Brother Barajas, Brother Andrew, Brother Allen. We meet at 7:30. We pray. We pray for many of you by name who are going through job difficulties or who have asked us to pray for certain prayer requests. And we've seen God answer prayers. That was started all the way back in 2009. That prayer meeting has been going on for 12 years now. When a lot of people, when the economy crashed and a lot of people here were in a bad job situation, we started that prayer meeting. 7:30. Then we go from there to 8 o'clock devotions with the teachers and some of the other folks there and the school building. And then we get together for staff meetings and one after the other, sometimes together. We go over necessary items that need to be tended to and we start planning for special events. We get to July or August. You know, we know that the fall program is coming. And so we got to come up with an idea, and we start thinking independently of each other and about ideas, what will work, what won't work, what God will use, maybe what God won't use. And as we began to think, God had placed something on my heart that I really felt we needed, but I wasn't sure how to incorporate it into a program. And so on the Wednesday, when we finally got around to talking about details, we thought about a competition between classes. We've done that before, not opposed to it, and we might do that again someday. But I told Brother Allen, I said, look, God has impressed on my heart the need to engage the church in prayer together instead of competition. Let's do something where we're all pulling together and seeking God to work on our behalf. Now, I told that was all that was on my heart. And I shared that with Alan. And the next week when we met again, he had come up with this Get Connected program. What a great theme I thought that was. Get Connected. And all the details of what we as a church could do for the fall week, 4 weeks of the fall campaign. And I thought it was great. And here we are. And you know, for the last 4 weeks, people have been seeking the Lord. And I think about those little cable, little pipe cleaners, those little green, black, and white pipe cleaners. Remind you of a plug that has the three wires, the green, white, and black priors, wires. And we've taken those little pipe cleaners and wound them together. We put them in strategic locations to remind us to call on God. And call on God. And seek God. Not seek God's grace. Not seek God's power. Seek Him. Because when He comes, all His attributes come with Him. That's what happens. And then prayer partners. Calling each other once a day. For just a few minutes. To pray together over the phone to seek God. And members opened their homes for families to come for a few minutes on Saturday evening to pray together. And we got the little prayer prompters that had the 7 targeted requests that we wanted to ask the Lord to help us with. And then people volunteered to fast one meal during the 4 weeks to seek God. And the truth of the matter is many members of this church have been seeking God with these 7 special targeted requests, and God has answered every one of them to some degree. Every one of them. And do you know what has happened as these things have begun to unfold? I'm going to tell you what's happened. God has kindled a fire. He's kindled a fire. Now, if you've not been plugged in, maybe you're not aware of it. But I promise you, if you've been a part of it, and by the way, this is not just me talking. This is the man who stopped outside the office talking to Brother Barajas. This is the member this morning who said, "Man, I hope we don't stop praying." This is the teenager who texted this afternoon and said, "I can't believe how some of the wonderful things that God has done. I hope we can just keep praying." This is not me sensing this and trying to convince you of something. This is something that some of you have experienced. God has kindled a fire. He's kindled a fire in hearts. And you remember the 120 in the upper room. They were there. They were all in one accord. Talked about that some weeks ago. One passion, one purpose, one mind, one heart. All 120 of them. All seeking the fulfillment of the promise that the Spirit of God would be poured out on them in power so that they could be witnesses for the Lord. And you remember when God sent the answer to His promise, what came and stood over the heads of those 120? Cloven tongues like as a fire. And God filled those 120 with His Spirit in answer to His promise and in answer to their prayer. And a fire was kindled in their hearts individually. And a fire was kindled in them corporately. A fire was kindled. And I really believe that's what's happened here the last 4 weeks. I don't think it's because of us. I think it's in spite of us. I think it's because that's what God wants. God wants to work. God wants to work through our churches more than we want Him to work through our churches. And I think about these 7 targeted requests. And Brother Allen and Brother Andrew put these together. And I don't know if we talked about the 7 requests. I don't remember all the details of it. But God, we ask for Holy Spirit power. God's presence has been felt. I'm going to tell you, that missions conference was unusually blessed of God. When you got a teenager referencing how God spoke to their heart during the missions conference, that missions conference was unusually blessed of God. If you were in the services in here at night on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you know God was present in this room. It was quiet, but it was not dead. People were not sleeping. People sitting on the edge of their seat. God was working in hearts. Hearts were tender in both the morning and the evening services as God worked. I remember one of the morning sessions at the invitation time, there were tears. God was moved. And there had been no emotional stories told. God was just working because His presence was here. We asked for that, and He answered. God has given us visitors in our services, some that have been invited, some that have just walked in. God has saved souls both on the property and off the property. Converts have been baptized. Converts have grown in grace. Bus attendance has increased. And volunteers have come forward to serve in the ministry. He's not joking. When people have come to Him and said, "What can I do to help?" God has kindled a fire. And all these things have happened. The warmth of God working in our hearts, the warmth of God working in lives has been felt. So I haven't sensed any of that. Well, you've got to get plugged in. Well, what to tell you? You got to quit riding on the coattails of everybody else, what they're doing, and get involved yourself. And I'm telling you, I'm not trying to convince you of this tonight. I'm telling you what has come to my attention from people in this church, that God has kindled a fire here. And I'm thankful for it. All those things have happened. In response to prayer, there is a sense of one purpose and one passion and one heart working together in seeking the Lord. The fire, I believe, has been kindled. I don't think it's the first time it's happened, but I think we have had a reality here of a fire kindled amongst our church. And I'm very excited about it. Very blessed by it. You know, it may be that the numbers, the result number-wise, haven't been as many as some past programs. But I'm going to tell you what, I'll take a reduction in numbers and the Spirit of God working. Over a bunch of numbers with just worked up by human activity. And I'm not against big numbers. But God's working in hearts. That's what I'm talking about here, okay? So a fire kindled. A fire kindled. Now, the second thing I want to point out about this, after the fire kindled, the snake attacked. Do you think that's a coincidence? You see that in verse number 3. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. Now, the fire was already burning when Paul added a bundle of sticks to the fire. Fire's already going. The viper was not in the fire. The viper was in the bundle of sticks. And the smoke and the heat, Paul throws the bundle of sticks on the fire where the heat is, and the smoke and the heat of the fire that's already kindled forced the viper to do what vipers do when they feel threatened, and they attack and they bite. That's what happens to animals that feel threatened. They attack. And people, I want to say this tonight. When God starts a fire burning in a local church, the devil is threatened. He's threatened. Now listen carefully tonight. His longing is for a church to be lukewarm in its existence. He doesn't give a rip if there's 1,000 churches in a town or a community if they're all lukewarm. Doesn't give a rip. Not cold, not hot. The kind of church that Jesus said he would spew out of his mouth. And Satan's perfectly content with that. He doesn't care if the church has, this is all revelation. He doesn't care if a church has a name that's just, that it's alive, but in reality, it's dead. That can happen to a church because of its history. It can have a name that it's alive. Man, God works in that place. Man, God does something in that place. Man, God uses, God comes in power in that place. That might all be true. Used to. A church can have a name that it is alive, but in reality be dead. I'm going to tell you something, church. Satan doesn't give a flip if the name is that the church is alive, but in reality it's dead. Live on, name. Have a name anywhere. Have a name all over the country. Have a name all over the world that you're alive. I know what happens there. Nothing. It's dead. And so he's okay with that. He's perfectly comfortable if the light of a church is hidden under a bushel. He doesn't feel threatened that those in the community who are under his power will be moved from the darkness in which they are living. He doesn't care. As long as that light is hidden under a bushel, the community will stay in darkness. You let the church gather, let the church sing, let the church give, let the church hear from God's word. As long as there's no fire kindled, as long as it's lukewarm, as long as it's alive in name only, he is happy. But brother, when a fire gets kindled, he's not going to sit idly by and watch it happen. He's not going to do that. That's when he feels threatened. He feels threatened. That's a different story. When the fire is kindled because a church is seeking God, not seeking all the favors of God, not seeking all the attributes of God, but seeking God himself. Tear a hole in the floor of heaven, Isaiah 64, and come down on with us. And when your presence comes, at thy presence, mountains are overthrown. At thy presence, kingdoms are destroyed. At his presence, those things happen. And Satan is just fine where that doesn't go on. But brother, when that starts happening, he's threatened. And that's when the viper gets his teeth sunk into a church. It's because a fire is kindled. A fire is kindled. By the way, Acts chapter 2, 3,000 people get saved, baptized, and the church starts growing, right? Acts chapter 3, Peter and John are on the way to the gate, to the temple. They go to the gate, beautiful. There's that man laying there asking for alms. They give him the name of Jesus Christ. He gets healed. He gets saved. And all of a sudden, the city's in an uproar because here's living proof of what Christ can do in a life. And now opposition sets in. In chapter 4, they're threatened. Don't you speak anymore in his name. In chapter 5, they're brought before the council, and the apostles are beaten. So all this opposition coming from the outside, all of this opposition coming from outside the church, guess what? Didn't it do anything to the church? Didn't harm the church at all. In fact, the word of God increased, and more people got saved, and more folks got baptized. But then you get to Acts chapter 6. And now it's not opposition outside the church. Now there's murmuring inside the church. What's happening? I'll tell you what's happening. The snake attacks. That's how it is, folks. It's not the opposition from the outside that's ever going to stop a church where a fire is kindled. It's the viper attacking on the inside. When the viper feels threatened, he's not going to turn the community against us. He's going to start working on the inside, murmuring, bringing problem, bringing murmurings amongst the people. And this is what happens in the church. Our greatest enemy is not those that are outside the four walls of this church. Our greatest enemy is sitting inside this church tonight. It's me, it's you, it's us. And when the viper attacks, that's how he does it. Because he's threatened. I've got to get this fire quenched. I've got to put this fire out. I've got to get people's minds on secondary things rather than off the primary thing and on secondary. What was the murmuring about? Our widows aren't getting treated fairly. Now, is it proper to treat widows right? Sure. Sure, it's necessary. But folks, you know what it was? It was murmuring about things. What was primary? Primary was prayer and the preaching of God's Word and the witnessing of God's Word. And that's what those leaders did. They said, whoa. And they set up a way for those widows to be cared for. We need to take care of this, so let's get this done. We got to keep our focus, our minds, our centered on the primary things of praying and witnessing and preaching God's Word. And folks, that's how the viper attacks. He comes in and gets our minds distracted and off the things that are primary on things that are secondary. That's what happens. And I'm not saying that all things that come up in a church are unimportant. But I am saying there are some things that are primary and there are some things that are secondary. So the fire is kindled and the snake attacked. And here's this viper hanging on Paul's hand. I mean, the fire's there. They're there warming themselves by the fire. And here's this viper holding the snake attack. Now, number three, let me talk for just a little bit tonight about the attack thwarted. The attack thwarted. Look what happened in verse number 5. The Bible says that Paul shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. So Paul shakes the viper off his hand into the fire. Now watch this. The fire that created the heat and the smoke that threatened the viper. And that's why he attacked. That same fire that threatened him killed him. Killed him. You know how to kill a viper? You know how to kill an attack inside the church? You got to keep the fire going. You got to keep the fire burning. What should a church do when the viper attacks because a fire is kindled? The church should shake the serpent back into the fire. The church should keep on doing what it has been doing. When the viper attacked, it was the smoke and the heat from the fire that was burning that caused the viper to feel threatened. And folks, when God has kindled a fire in the hearts of people in the church, more than just one, but several people, I think that sentiment that man and that person this morning and that teenager expressed, I think that sentiment is felt by many in this room tonight who have been connected the last 4 weeks. When that happens, when the snake attacks, we just have to keep doing what we have been doing. The very fire that caused him to feel threatened is the same fire that will take his life. I know we can't kill the devil, but you know what I'm talking about. That's exactly what happened in Acts chapter 6. When the murmuring arose, I talked about it, they put those men in place to take care of those secondary things, like the daily ministrations, and they kept on praying, and they kept on preaching, and they kept on witnessing. They kept the kindled fire burning, and the church continued to experience the blessing of God. Now, I'm not asking for people to keep their homes open on Saturday night for cottage prayer meetings. In fact, I prefer that you don't for specific reasons. This was for a purpose. This was for a cause. And we may do it again someday. But cottage prayer meetings have the potential to develop in things that are not healthy for a church. So I would prefer that they don't continue. I'm not Lord over your house, but I would just prefer. But some people have already talked to their prayer partner about continuing to pray together. I know that. And I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about people have said to me, so-and-so, we had our last prayer time together yesterday afternoon. And they asked if we could keep doing this once a week. It doesn't have to be every day. Maybe once a week. Maybe every other day. You know, was it that difficult to miss a meal? To seek the Lord? One meal. Was it that difficult to miss a meal? Would it be good to keep the prayer, the little prayer reminder, wrapped around your key ring? Maybe wrapped around the refrigerator door at church, at home? Refrigerator door at church over there. Yeah. Would it be helpful to go over these targeted requests found on the book? I'm not throwing this away. I'm keeping this in my pocket. Why would I want to throw that away? When are these seven things not necessary for a church? Were they not necessary? I'm not throwing that away. I'm keeping it in my pocket. I didn't put it in my pocket for this sermon tonight. I've had it in my pocket since you passed them out 4 weeks ago. Every day. Kept it there. Was it what has it been worth it to enjoy a kindled fire? It's been worth it in my sense, my mind. The truth is, some folks never really get on board during a thing like this. That doesn't mean you can't jump in. Get plugged in. And you know what? In case you're wondering if all this is necessary, this praying together and talking, you know, not turning it into a long conversation on the phone, just taking some minutes and praying together and maybe taking some time to pray over these seven things when you see that little prayer reminder. Let me give you some reasons why it's necessary. And I can give you 69 reasons, but it's too late for 69. Unless your name is Brother Coral. Amen. By the way, listen, I had a person tell me tonight before the service started, I was not in town to hear Brother Coral, but I listened to that Sunday night message, and that was wonderful. It's because it went a little long doesn't mean it wasn't helpful. I can give you 69 reasons. Because a couple of weeks ago in King's Kids, there were 69 three-year-old through sixth grade boys and girls. 69. There's 69 reasons right there why it's necessary to keep a kindled fire burning. You know, the kindled fire burning is necessary for them to have a place where they can keep warm in the present rain and the cold. And I don't know if you checked out there or not in this world right now. It's cold and it's raining. And there needs to be a place where those 69 kiddos can continue to come and sense that there's a fire burning. And I'm not preaching for my good tonight. What's very funny, very different for me right now at this stage in the game, is to walk by the nursery and realize that when the kids in that nursery are in 6th or 7th grade, maybe 8th, 10th grade, I probably won't be their pastor. Just add the years. Those little kiddos in the nursery, I won't be their pastor when they get their diploma. I probably won't be their pastor. I'm not leaving anytime soon. Don't get your hopes up for some of you, okay? But I'm talking long term here. But you know what I want? If I'm the pastor or not, I want a place where there's a kindled fire burning for those kids to be able to come and sense God at work. And it may not happen every service. Like this morning, I was disappointed. I think we had a better Sunday last Sunday than today. We didn't plan that. You can't boss the Spirit of God around. I'm happy for what's happened. I know that this is what I have, but mother, to have people come to me and tell me this. I'm not trying to convince you of this tonight. I'm only telling you what took place last Sunday afternoon. And as soon as that man walked away and Brother Barajas left upstairs, the Spirit of God said to me, that's exactly the time when the attack will come. If you think he's going to sit idly by and have a church continue on with a God-kindled fire and not try to stop it, you're wrong. The viper attacks. How do you kill a viper? you throw him into fire. You keep doing what you've been doing. We keep seeking God. We keep begging God for His presence. We keep asking Him to send guests. We keep asking Him to save souls. We keep asking Him to have new Christians growing. We just keep after God. Get a little time, take your Bible, and look up all the references in the Word of God that deal with seeking God. Seeking God. And notice what happens when people seek God. Just do a little reading sometime. It'll bless your heart. There's no reason why we just can't keep seeking God, because that's how you kill the viper. You just keep seeking God. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed. And we need to keep the fire burning for people to get warm. We need to keep the fire burning to kill the viper that will surely attack. Let's just stay after it. Thank you for your involvement. Thank you for jumping in. And if you didn't get a chance to participate in some of these things because life was too busy, hey, you can jump in now over the next several weeks and months and really start to seek God. To kindle a fire, keep the kindled fire burning so that God's work can go forward in this community. Father in heaven, you didn't kindle a fire here because of us. You kindled a fire here in spite of us. And I'm grateful for it. I'm thankful for the warmth of my soul, warmth my soul has felt from this kindled fire. God, we need it to keep going. We don't have the wherewithal, the power in ourselves to do that, but we can seek you because you started it. You can keep it going. And we ask you to do just that. And Father, help us to be on guard so the viper won't attack through us in secondary areas. Help us to keep our perspective right. Realize, Lord, that the primary purpose of the church is to edify the saint and evangelize the sinner and exalt the Savior. May we keep on track with that. Would you bless our church for the third graders in this room tonight? Would you keep the fire burning for the five-year-olds that are in this room tonight? Would you keep the fire burning for those little ones back there in that toddler nursery tonight? Would you keep the fire burning here, please, Lord Jesus? Well, thank you for it. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're not saved, my gracious, don't be almost saved. Come and get saved tonight. And if the power, if you've sensed a spirit here and something working in your heart the last several weeks, and say, Pastor, that's true. I've thought the same thing. Let's just keep doing what we need to do to see God keep the fire burning. The altar's open for whatever you need, salvation, baptism, whatever, as the ladies play tonight. You obey the Lord tonight. You just obey the Lord. Obey God. I would think that every young couple with little children would long for God to keep the fire kindled. And for those of us with grandchildren here, Lord, keep the fire kindled. Keep your word being preached. Keep the witnessing going on. Keep the praying. God, please. Keep the fire kindled. Protect us from the attacks of the viper. Help us to shake him off back into the fire. God, we long to see you work. Long to feel your presence as we have during these Sundays. Missions conference and how you just, Lord, blessed us. Don't take that for granted. Just ask you to keep working. Keep the fire burning. One by one, help us to reach folks in this area without Christ. I pray for those that have been saved the last 3 or 4 weeks. I pray that they'll be faithful, come back to church, get in, get start growing. Give them victory, Lord. I pray for to see more visitors come. those that we invite and those that you send. We pray, Lord, for our buses to just keep enjoying good attendances. Thank you for the boost in that attendance. Thank you for volunteers to serve, work in places of ministry. Can't praise you enough tonight for how you've answered our prayer. And we rejoice and bless your holy name tonight. Just help us to keep after it, Lord. By your grace, help us to be faithful. I pray and ask all this in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen and amen.